a few people already saying, hey, when are you giving away those wealthy barber books? That's going to be at 10:30. So about an hour from now, we have author of The Wealthy Barber, David Chilton, joining us on the program at 10:30. And during that time, we will explain how you can get your name in to win one of the new Wealthy Barber, updated Wealthy Barber book. We've got a couple of them here that we're going to be giving away. So that'll be coming up a little bit later. Right now, we are into open phones. 1-877-332-8255 is the number, whether you want to text in or call in. We are getting lots of texts on a variety of things. I threw out, knowing that this is it's a hook, knowing that people have thoughts on this, when we chatted with Tom Korski from BlackRock's reporter off the top of the show, Tom really thinks there's going to be an election next year. He feels like the bricks are being laid in a way that it points to an election next year. If we have an election, let's say it's a spring election, do we really think we're going to have different results? I mean, you know, you could make the argument that we're one, or really, I guess, two seats away from a true liberal majority, keeping in mind that they will appoint a speaker and that person doesn't vote. So, you know, really effectively, 172 seats gives them technically a majority government. However, if they were to get 173, then you would say, yeah, that is a majority government, despite the fact that they have to put the speaker up in a position. Will we see that if an election hits? Will we see a swing of two more seats to the Liberals? Will we see a win for the Conservatives, whether it's minority or majority? Will we see a win? Many people, and I would be one, saying, I'm just not sure that we've seen enough bad out of the current Liberal government to swing and sway a vote. I get it. There's people that aren't happy with decisions that have been made. But there are people that have thought, okay, maybe this isn't as bad as what we had under Trudeau. Mark Carney showing a little bit of a different political slant to the party. Would we see a significant difference? Hard for us to think about this in the West, because as the West tends to vote politically a very certain way. But if we do think of this on a national scale, does this make a difference? Let's go to the phone lines. I want to grab a couple callers. I'm going to start with Les in Corning. Are we getting set up for an election here, Les?
I predicted it earlier, Evan, that an election's coming in 2026. Now, Mark, he's setting it up perfect that he's going to have Chinese help. Michael May has crossed the floor now. He knew Mark Carney. They were at meetings in China beforehand. Tim Hodgins, he was at meetings with them also. Mark Wiseman, also affiliated with the Chinese. And
Mark Wiseman's the name that Mark Carney is apparently going to be putting ahead of the doing the negotiations with the United States on Kuzma.
That's right, and it's all being set up right now. But you see, Mark has to bring in enough people from other countries beforehand to force them to vote a liberal vote. And you see, that's why Saskatchewan now is starting to...
But do you think the Michael Ma thing was orchestrated, Les? I mean, he ran and won as a Conservative.
Yes, and that's where I'm a little upset also. I have been, the Conservatives got to vet their candidates better, their MLAs, because Michael was affiliated with the Chinese before he ever won that riding.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Many people frustrated with the floor crossing, which is not new, right? This has been done many, many, many times before. But I think just given the fact that it's happened now a couple of times in recent months, and it is inching the Liberals closer to a majority government, it's got some people worked up. In fact, I'm going to take a call from Dennis in Melfort. The floor crossing thing doesn't sit well with you, does it, Dennis?
No, it should be in a voter's constitutional right. And it should be federally and provincially. The people that vote these so-called people into office aren't voting for the individual person, they're voting for the party. I would like to mention one thing about inclusivity and opening up hearts and stuff like that. And I watched the TV show Heated Rivalry, and it was a very good show, and I think people should open up their hearts and get a chance to watch it. I read the book on the TV series, Match Penalty, But Ending, and it was a very good book. Thank you very much for my call.
I appreciate you calling in, Dennis. You know, the notion, I'm seeing a number of texts, people frustrated by this crossing of the floor, and we need legislative change to ensure this doesn't happen. Gosh, this has been going on for a while. Like some of the big names, I think about Rene Levesque. You remember, he was a liberal, left the liberals to sit as an independent, ultimately became premier of Parti Québécois. Lucienne Bouchard, speaking of conservatives that left to join the Bloc. Belinda Stronach, how about that one? 2005, conservative member, left to get a cabinet position with the liberal government. David Emerson was a liberal, left to get a cabinet position with the conservative government. That was 06. So this has been happening for a while. And I said it right from the start. Not only do I hate it, but I hate it regardless of partisanship. I would be as loud on this topic if it was going the other way, liberals going to the conservatives. It just does not sit well with me. If you leave and sit as an independent, then I guess you've made that decision and you are going to, you'll pay the consequences. Ultimately, the people that voted you in will make the decision if you're going to stay back, if you go as an independent. I listened to Pierre Poilievre talking yesterday with Vashi. He was on Power Play with Vashi Capellos, and she asked a question about how is this different from some of the cases where we've seen liberal members move before an election, cross the floor to the conservatives, and Pierre had some thoughts on that.
I didn't hear you at the time say, this is an abhorrent thing. How could this happen in the way that you're saying right now?
Well, I remember at the time she was saying that the liberals were then driving the deficit out of control. They were leading to rising living costs, that they had a soft on crime policy that was not consistent with what she expected. And that's why we have to focus on making the lives of Canadians safe and affordable again. That has been my mission in this session of Parliament. And it's certainly going to be the mission when we get back, because frankly, people need hope again that things can get better and that they don't have to live in an unaffordable, unsafe country where they're in debt and in danger, that things can actually get better. We're the only party that will make them better.
He was chatting there with Vashi about Leona Alslev and when that change was made. She left the Liberals to join the Conservative caucus. Later in that conversation, Vashi asked Pierre Poilievre, will he remain and fight, knowing that he's got a leadership review that was automatically prompted due to his loss of his riding in the federal election? We know he ran and won in a by-election in Alberta in the summertime, but this is going ahead, this leadership review in January, and asked whether or not he's going to be there or not, this was his answer.
That'll be up to the members of our party, because our party is not run by backroom deals in Ottawa, but by the welders and waitresses, soldiers and police officers, small business people who actually join the party and come to our convention. I am fighting for them. I'm fighting for them every day and in every way, and they will decide in the convention if they want me to stay on.
But you'll be at that convention no matter what?
Yes.
Okay, that was Pierre Poilievre yesterday. So he's saying, nope, not going anywhere. And at this point, it doesn't look like there's any, we're not hearing a groundswell from inside the Conservatives that there is going to be a new leader coming forward. Never say never, but I guess we'll see what happens there. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to, I want to grab this call from Ken in Saskatoon. Open lines. Ken, what's on your mind?
Well, how you turn something into propaganda when you're like global news and the mainstream media. I'll tell you, if I told you right now, I said, there's a picture of Donald Trump that is him with six women and their faces are redacted, blurred out. You'd know what that photo was because it's been everywhere.
Right.
However, if I told you that the photo was, hey, let's put a photo of Donald Trump from 1998 with six Hawaiian Tropic models at a function at Mar-a-Lago out there, that photo would not be newsworthy in any way. But as soon as you blur those faces and the Democrats go and release that, and some photographs, they don't blur the faces, what does the media do? Did they do a reverse photo lookup like people, you know, online? Some people did and said, hey, this is, and find it. No. They just popped it on out there without context, just took to give the impression that something illegal or untoward was happening. Mm-hmm. And they keep, the media keeps on falling for these things. Once the Democrats release something, you got to do a lot more research. And where's all the editors? Where's all these fact checkers? Where's all the, oh, you can trust the mainstream media because we don't lie. You're being used all the time.
If I'm thinking of the right picture, this is the one that some were trying to suggest were underage girls in the picture, and they all turned out to be in their 20s. Is that the one you're talking about, Ken?
That's exactly the one. Yeah. And the New York Post, to their credit, found some of the models, and one of them said that he couldn't have been more of a gentleman, and it was just like just your regular event that high, you know, the profile people do with the, when the Hawaiian Tropic is trying to sell more sun lotion. Yeah. You know, we all know that brand. There's nothing wrong with the photo. But now there are millions of people that have an impression. And that is why, and the Democrats get away with it all the time because the media is willing to do it. They don't ask the questions.
It's hard to find a Donald Trump story where there isn't thousands of spins that come from it. There's no doubt about that. You know, you look at what's going on right now with this tragic case of Rob Reiner, which is sad news. I mean, I can't sit here and say that I was an expert on or a huge fan of Rob Reiner, but I certainly appreciated the fact the fella did some great movies. Everything from Spinal Tap to Stand By Me. What a good show that was. When Harry Met Sally, A Few Good Men. I mean, he had a lot of great movies to his directing credit, and this news of him being murdered, he and his wife we can't say by his son, but his son has been arrested and is being questioned, of course, on this incident. But when Donald Trump plays into this, and I'll start off by saying Rob Reiner, very political in what he would put out on social media. He was anti-Trump. He did not like Donald Trump. He held nothing back. The challenge is, it's one thing for him to say that and Donald Trump to fire back. That kind of thing is fair game. When someone is murdered, is that a time to double down? This is what is the cause of lots of controversy because, of course, Donald Trump showed very little compassion on his Truth Social post and then was essentially asked if he, after receiving some pushback from some Republican politicians, did he want to rethink what he was saying?
A number of Republicans have denounced your statement on Truth Social after the murder of Rob Reiner. Do you stand by that post?
Well, I wasn't a fan of his at all. He was a deranged person as far as Trump is concerned. He said he knew it was false. In fact, it's the exact opposite, that I was a friend of Russia, controlled by Russia. You know, it was the Russia hooks. He was one of the people behind it. I think he hurt himself in career-wise. So he became like a deranged person, Trump derangement syndrome. So I was not a fan of Rob Reiner at all.
So, you know, the question is, I mean, what Donald Trump said about Rob Reiner there, Rob Reiner absolutely threw Trump in with Russian collusion and interference and all of those things. And that's not wrong that Rob Reiner did those things. But even some of the strongest Trump supporters are saying, this is not good. This is not a good look. These are things that damage his reputation and ultimately causes people to question whether or not they continue to support Donald Trump. We've talked about this before. I said it after the Minnesota shootings. Remember when the Minnesota politicians shootings happened and he didn't make the call to Tim Walz? And I said, like, come on, you got to rise above. I mean, that feels like the exact same thing here. This is, you know what? If you can't say anything good, then maybe don't say anything at all. Fair enough. But lots of people upset about the post and then the subsequent media that Donald Trump did on that. We're chatting about Donald Trump and, of course, what he said about Rob Reiner. Some strong Republican and Donald Trump supporters didn't like that. Matt in Estevan, how do you see this playing out?
I do think that there's things that he shouldn't have said, but I will say in that is that he also didn't glorify that Rob Reiner and his wife were killed. You have to look at the whole situation that Rob Reiner, and I will say, whether we classify him as an extreme left, I don't know, but the extreme left has been so hard on Donald Trump for the last 10 years in his first term, praising basically the attempted assassination on him twice. And Donald Trump didn't do that. And I'll go back to the Charlie Kirk thing with that. You know, there's people that were happy that Charlie Kirk got killed. And there's no sympathy there.
It cuts both ways. There's no question about that. And you're right, Matt. Rob Reiner was definitely he was a socialist in his political leanings. He was not pro-Trump. There's no question about that as well. One of those ones, like I'm seeing a number of people on the text line say, this is one of those ones where he probably would have been best to just not say anything at all. Nonetheless, Matt brings up some good points. There are lots of examples where people from the other side of the political spectrum glorified. He gave the example of the assassination attempts on Donald Trump or the Charlie Kirk murder that happened, assassination that happened. So great points there. Thanks to everyone who joined us on Open Lines. We'll take a break. When we come back, Keith Moen is going to join us in studio, Executive Director for the North Saskatoon Business Association. How are businesses faring after the dust settled from the Saskatoon budget? That's where we go next here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.